So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, 22nd chapter, text 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atra gatya balaha kamang swang swang vasaha pragriyataam sacham pravane no norma yad yuyam vrata karshitaha Atra gatya bala kamaham swang swam vasa pragriyatam sacham ravani no narma yadyuyam ratakarshitakam Atragatyavadakamaham Song Swam Vasa Pagriyatam Satyam Ravani No Narma Yadyuyam Ratakarshitaha Atragatyavadakamaham Song Swam Vasa Pragayatam Guru Sacham Brahmani No Dharma Yadhu Yam Ratakar Shitaka. Okay. Atra, here. Agatya, coming. Abalaha, O girls. Kamam, as you wish. Swam swam, eat your own. Vasaha, clothing. Vakriyatam, please take. Sacham, the truth. Bruvani, I am speaking. Na, not. Ooh, rather. Norma, jest. Yet, because. Yuyam, you. Vratak, by your vow of austerity. Karashitaha. Fatigued. Translation, Lord Krishna said, my dear girls, you may each come here as you wish and take back your garments. I am telling you the truth, and I am not joking with you, since I see you're fatigued from executing austere vows. So you can repeat, Lord Krishna said, my dear girls, you may each come here as you wish and take back your garments. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not joking with you, since they see you're fatigued from executing austere vows. So I'm going to read the commentaries by the Acharyas. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that this verse illustrates how he joked with the girls. His joking was mentioned in the previous verse. If these clothes are really yours, then come here if you like and recognize your own clothes. Take them after paying me one small necklace each in order to satisfy me after you have insulted me. You must come each individually, not all at once or two or three together, because out of greed for the cloth, one woman will take more than one cloth. The young girls said, we cannot go. Krishna, laughing, said, oh, girls, weak ones, Obala, that's what Obala means, because of your intense austerities, you have become weak and cannot come here. Another implication of the word Obala is, if you do not do this, I will not give the clothing because I am strong, Bala. What can you weak women do? The young girls said, we do not trust your cheating words. Krishna said, I am speaking the truth to you. Satyam can also mean true. I am making a vow to you. Satyam can mean truth or vow according to Amarakosh Dictionary. I am not joking, Naramanol. Because of your vows, you have undergone difficulties, Vrata Karshitaha. I show mercy and devotion to you and respect for Dharma because of your austerities. And Jiva Goswami says, two verses show his joking. He tells them to come close so that he can see them fully on the pretext of giving them their clothing. As you like, take your clothing right now, Prakriyatam. He encourages them to come quickly. By his indifference, he shows indifference to the theft. I've come here on seeing the clothing hidden in the tree after it was stolen by some thief. You should all come out and take your clothes. Not just one, two, or three. Everyone should take their clothes, for some among you will take this someone else's clothes by deception. The deep meaning, however, is something else. We do not believe your words. I am telling the truth. Satyam Bruvani. This is poetic license for Bruvani. This is the version in some editions. But you can speak lies while joking. This is not a joke. Because you are joking, but you are just young girls in the word Abalaha. Because you have not reached youth, you are without strength and have become very weak by the vows. It is not proper to joke with performers of austerities. By this he indicates he did not steal the clothing, which is a lie. Someone else did it. Again he shows his indifference by joking and thus disturbing their minds. What is possible for you to do today? Joking and showing fear, he pacifies them. Let me go back to the verse. Atragatya valakamang swam swam vasa pakridya tam satyam ravami no norma yad yuyam vrata karshita. So omagana timiranda shaganjana shlakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shigarve namaha. So the first thing that comes to mind when I read this pastime is that if anyone in the modern world did this sort of thing, we'd have to call the child protection services, right? And psychology, and you know, if he was young like Krishna, he'd be institutionalized or have to see a psychiatrist or wouldn't be able to go to school anymore. So there'd be really severe restrictions because this would be considered, I mean, he's a young child, but still It's a type of abuse, and it can lead to problems later on in life, which Krishna also had problems later on in life. So we really have to understand what's going on here. And just like the other day, we were talking about the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha. And this interesting story where poor Tulsi gets cursed by Radharani. I mean, just like, what's happening here? And she has to go down to the material world and fall in love with some guy. Not so, just some guy. It was Subal. But anyway, and he gets cursed by Radharani. And the river Viraj, the Gopi Viraja gets cursed by Radharani. I mean, what's happening here? We're talking about the spiritual world, which is supposed to be what? Full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And in this world, you know, we find similar symptoms too. You know, people are envious of other people and have a bad attitude towards other people. People steal from other people. People abuse others. Just like one of my services as guru is I have to deal with sometimes with husbands and wives who, anyway, they don't treat each other properly. And some of the devotees saw me dealing with a particular case last night. So it's just like, is this just like the material world? I mean, what's happening here? These poor gopis, poor Tulsi Devi. I mean, so many years, and she's in love with Shankachuda, and then Krishna just like is so cruel. And, you know, Viraja, you know, all those things. It's just like, what? Who wants to be a devotee, you know? You know, my version of the spiritual world is, you know, heaven, like the Christian heaven, where you go to the spiritual world and God is just the order supplier and your grandmother and grandfather are there. And now, and they're not getting drunk either. So, and now your grandmother and grandfather are going with Yamaraj and you're going to the spiritual world. I mean, it's just like, what? You know, and if you join the Mormons, then you get to have your own universe. And your grandmother and grandfather and everybody else is there. And your dog is also there. I mean, who wants to be a dog eternally? Who wants to be a grandmother eternally? An old lady eternally? I don't want to do that. Or an old man eternally. You know, I'm just fed up with this body. So anyway, not that fed up, Krishna. Don't take it away right now. But anyway, so what's happening? So we really have to examine what's in the consciousness intention of the people who are doing all these things. I mean, for example, let's take Tulsi Devi, who gets cursed to come down to the material world. And she's pretty angry. She's pretty miserable. But it's all centered on Krishna. These are all spiritual ecstasy. I mean, we project our material conceptions upon the realm of the absolute. And we're thinking, these girls here we're talking about. These poor girls, this boy is abusing them. They're freezing in the river. And he's saying he's not joking, but he is joking. And he's lying, and they can't trust the guy. Can you imagine if your husband did that? I mean, just, whew. They can't, you know, because in this material world, if someone tells a lie, guess what? You don't trust them again. So they can't, yeah, and Krishna's lying continually. That's why Prabhupada says in the commentary to the Gita, when Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati, he says to Arjuna, you should declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish because people won't believe Krishna. I mean, look at the Mahabharata story. Come on, I mean, so much cheating. You know, there was one person, one of my godbrothers, said, Krishna, the Mahabharata presents Krishna as very tricky and everything like that. Well, he is tricky. He is tricky. He does lie. And Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada said that that's why Krishna asked Arjuna to declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. Because if a devotee says something, and we know according to the Nectar of Devotion, that one of the qualities of pure devotional service is that Krishna is controlled by his devotees. It's the only means of attracting Krishna. So therefore, you know, if Arjuna says or if Prabhupada says something, you know, Krishna tells me I'm going back to Godhead after this lifetime, I won't believe him. But if Prabhupada tells me, Krishna, you better listen, Prabhu. Prabhu means master. It's all right to refer to Krishna because he's Mahaprabhu. Like that. So therefore, there's something else going on. There's the enjoyment of people playing, just like we hear lila, the word lila, or pastimes. So that not doesn't only refer to Krishna. It refers to Krishna's devotees who are partaking of the lila. They're playing too. Just like when we were young, we would play, you know, cops and robbers or innocent things. Nowadays, of course, they play so many stupid things. And it was play. And it was serious while we were doing it. You know, we take out, those days, actually, you had toy guns. You can't do that anymore. Because if the police come and they see you with a toy gun nowadays, they shoot you because they think it's a real gun. So, you know, we have these caps. You know, caps, there's like a roll of these caps in the toy guns. And even made an explosive sound. And we really serious. Or you play baseball, or for those of you from India, cricket. Like Adi Purusha would play cricket. So, and you're yelling at the other team and angry at the other team, right? All right, whatever. But like with baseball or football, you're actually feel this anger towards the other team. You're yelling, you're useless, you're hopeless. And even like with the football team, you have all these cheerleaders. Unfortunately, I wasn't a cheerleader. But unfortunately, I had to play the trombone during that game. And every time there was a touchdown, you had to go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Most boring thing I ever did. But it's play. You know, there's anger there. There's all these things. So it's just enjoyment that's happening because they're all doing it out of love. The gopis are completely in love with Krishna. Try to understand. They're not thinking internally that this guy is abusing us. They're thinking, it is so cute what Krishna is doing. Even when you have these pastimes in Braj, where there's yelling and screaming. I mean, like the Dhanavartana Kun story, which is a really interesting story, which I can tell. And once upon a time, the gopis, they were going to Govindakun with some milk products to deliver them for the brahmanas who were going to do some puja, some sacrifice, yagyas. And Krishna, he just stood on Dangati. Dangati is actually the path that goes over Govardhan Hill. That's why it's called Dangati. It's interesting. The main road of Govardhan is called the tax road. And actually, even today, sometimes like unscrupulous people, they'll charge you taxes when you're taking your rickshaw across. You ever see that happen? I remember we were taking our rickshaw across and they said, oh, your rickshaw is from Radhakund. You got to pay a tax. So it's called Dangati. So the gopis were crossing this, and then Krishna, he stops them. And he says, you got to pay your taxes. And there's yelling and screaming and calling each other names. And Krishna said, I'm increasing the taxes because you're not submissive. What an amazing pastime. Because you're not listening to pay the taxes. And then Krishna says, you got to pay taxes. And of course, it becomes very romantic because he says you have to pay taxes for your beautiful eyes, you know, so many jewels or whatever for your beautiful eyes, so many for your ears, for your nose. And, you know, he goes to the breast, every part of the body, actually. I mean, this is abusive. Can you imagine if a guy did that at the university or something? Yes, come in. It's completely abusive. And they're yelling, and finally, you know, Purnamasi comes out and says, okay, let's have a mediation session here. You know, so, you know, the girls don't have enough to pay today, so therefore, they could come tomorrow and make their payments. And so they, okay, we'll do that, we promise. So they go, and they make their payments, and they come, they don't make their payments, they deliver the milk to the brahmanas and the milk products, and they come back the next day, but they come back with 10 million gopis. And there's only like a handful of coward boys, you know, maybe 100. Krishna, and they tie Krishna up and his coward boys up to all the trees and start beating them. Not hard, but they start beating them with sticks. And then, what's happening here? And everyone's enjoying. You understand? Everyone is enjoying this whole thing. Or even when Madhu Mangal gets beaten on the behind because he is stealing the butter with all the other coward boys and he can't escape through the window because his rear end is too big. It's a good reason for not weighing too much. So his rear end is too big and he can't escape. And so the gopis are beating him with a stick and then he's enjoying, of course. You wouldn't enjoy that. You know, you project your mundane conception. And who would enjoy it in this world to get beaten by some girls with it in the rear end? And then Krishna says, you have committed a great offense. So you have to the gopis. Therefore, you have to mitigate that offense by apologizing and doing whatever he says and then ultimately giving him so many laddus until he blesses you. And this is going on. So you got this anger here. So, I mean, I could go down the line with so many different stories, but I want to analyze this particular pastime based upon the descriptions given in the Nectar Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because in this particular pastime, or these pastimes where there's trickery, where there's lying, where there's joking, you actually find many different, and I wrote this down, many different rasas being manifest. The only ras that is not being manifest in terms of the indirect rasas right now we're talking about is the ras of let me see, I'm trying to remember the name of that. What? The rasa of ghastliness. Every other indirect rasa is being manifest in this particular pastime, which is pretty amazing. Plus, two of the qualities of Krishna, which I'm going to mention in a second, which two of the conflicting qualities of Krishna are mentioned or manifest in this pastime. So here's the indirect rasas. Fear. Because the gopis, you know, they're fearful at this particular point. Krishna's not fearful. But the gopis are fearful. You know, what is this guy doing? And we're freezing to death here. You know, they were literally shivering in the river. Because the river, I mean, just like we have a swimming pool here, and I won't go swimming in it this time of year. But the Yamuna River is just as cold as the swimming pool is. How cold is it now? 50, yeah. It's about 50 to 55 degrees at this point, Fahrenheit. So, and the gopis were going in it without a wetsuit. You know, I have a wetsuit and I won't even go into the swimming pool now. But they were going in and bathing and they were turning blue. So they were fearful. They were fearful of losing their chastity. So that fear was there. And of course, humor. Now it's interesting in this particular verse, Krishna says, I'm not joking. But it's not that he's lying or anything like that. He's joking, but he's also serious about making them come out of the river without their clothes and collecting their clothes. You understand? He's serious about that. But at the same time, he's joking. So it's not that Krishna's lying in this particular case. So there's a tremendous amount of humor, which Mother Ermler covered yesterday. And then there's chivalry. Because Krishna, if you read the Acharya's commentaries, he's actually challenging the gopis by saying, "You're a bala." Do you ever do that? Like when you're playing a game, you say, "You're just weak." You know, I would do that sometimes with some of my disciples who I'd fight with. And they would like that, actually. It was actually Mayapur Chandra. I said, "You're just weak." And so, abala means you're just weak girls. You know, what's wrong with you? So there's that chivalry, the challenging attitude. Come out, you know, come out of the water. And then there's shock, isn't it? Because the gopis are just looking at this thing and thinking, "Oh my God. God. Oh my God, Krishna." So they're actually just shocked that Krishna's doing that. He's up in the tree. He's lied, of course. He's stolen the clothes. It's not that some other guy stole the clothes. And actually, if you go to this spot today in Braj, you'll actually see the devotees hang the clothes in the trees. Still in the tree. Not the same clothes, obviously. Just to commemorate this particular pastime, the clothes are actually in the tree. And it's really wonderful to see that. And so they're shocked to see that. And they're angry at him. Angry. And then the final one, of course, is compassion. Krishna's doing this out of compassion. And if someone does this in the material world, it's not out of compassion. It's out of an attempt to control someone else, and they take pleasure and see someone else suffer. This is the material consciousness. They take pleasure in seeing another living entity suffer. So all these different indirect rasas being manifest. Of course, the conjugal rasa is there too. And but these indirect rasas are flavoring the conjugal rasa. And then as far as the qualities that Krishna is manifesting here, they're both Dhira Lalita and Dhirudatta. They're conflicting qualities. Dhira Lalita, as you know, means Krishna is very, very playful, joking. And Dhira actually means free of anxieties, according to the Acharyas. In other words, that he's a type of personality who has no anxieties. That would be nice. No anxieties. And he's playful. It's like a little child. Now, where do we see that in this world? A little child who has no anxieties because he's not responsible for anything. He's not worried about the finances of the temple. What? Not the Abhimanyu in the Mahabharat. He's an anxiety. But Abhimanyu here, he's just, you know, not worried about anything. And not worried about Donald Trump, you know, or what's going to happen in the next month while he's still president. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, so that's Krishna. No anxieties. You know, I'm in charge, you know. I can do anything with anyone I want, and none of you could say anything about it. And then Lalita means playful. And Dhirudatta, at the same time, Krishna's manifesting this quality, which is he's proud. He says, "Get out of the water now." And restless, he's arrogant, deceitful, and boastful. So both of these different aspects or qualities of Krishna are being manifest at this particular juncture. Anyway, and the gopis are enjoying this. They're playing back and forth with Krishna, even though there's ostensibly some of the symptoms of anxiety, suffering, freezing to death. It's all love. It's all loving exchange. That's the difference. And with love, we mentioned Tulsi Devi, Shankachuda, all these things are just loving exchanges. And even the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. These are loving exchanges. Krishna would never make his devotees suffer. He would never make his devotees suffer. He would test his devotee. I mean, Yashahamana Grinami, Hriyeshe Tadanamshanai. For those who Krishna especially favors, he takes away things. I mean, people realize that naked reality, that's another word Prabhupada used in his Vrindavan Bhajan, the naked reality of this world. Prabhupada said, I have my family, this and that, you know, but they're all, it was something like fruitless, you know, and I'm sitting here alone in Vrindavan chanting. Krishna puts his devotees in situations, but a devotee enjoys that. A real devotee enjoys that. Don't get angry with him. When Krishna just shows us the nature of this world, you know, of our body and of everything like that. So, because it's all loving exchange. And that's how we can get to the point of tolerating everything that happens to us. I'm just going to bring it down to earth right now. How do we get to the point of tolerating everything? And you're going to have to tolerate a lot. Whether you're Krishna conscious or not, I got news for you. You know, like one enters into a, let's say, a relationship, and there's all sorts of like expectations that everything will go right. It's going to be stars and flowers. You know, we talk about marriages. We had two marriages in the last few days. It's all going to be flowers. Just like last night, someone, right after his marriage, he asked me a question about something related to a marriage. But anyway, not you, buddy. But then you see there's so much austerity in this material world. So many trials, so much pain. However, if you approach it as a loving exchange with Krishna, bringing you closer to him, then it becomes rasa, full of rasa. Like Prabhupada did, when he saw that his family was taken away, you know, his wife, not taken away, he took himself away, but anyway, when he saw the hopelessness of trying to engage in his situation, I'm not talking about you, it's a hopeless, don't take this as part of the, oh my God, you're going to take this out of context. Everybody's different. Okay, don't worry. you're not going to take Adi's Bhagavatam and sell it for marijuana or something like that. That's different. I mean, you're a devotee couple, et cetera, like that. But Prabhupada just like, he took all these things as Krishna. He saw, as Krishna says in the Gita, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Savram Chamai Pashati. Tashaham na pranashami, sacha me na pranashati. He says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything is me, is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So then it becomes an exchange of ras. Literally, it does. When something happens, someone opposes you. You know, just like in life, sometimes people oppose you or criticize you for something you've never done. And then you're thinking, it's so unfair. Life is unfair. I hate your guts. Or someone takes your clothes and uses your clothes. That happens. Not to me. I would shoot them. So that's why I keep my door locked. But they did that to Prabhupada. We were just talking last night about Prabhupada was in Africa one time. And but they were looking for Prabhupada's clothes, and they went to the morning program, and they saw the brahmacharis dressed in Prabhupada's clothes because they pulled it off the lines of dressed in Prabhupada's clothes. So that's how to deal with life. Just to see Krishna's hand behind everything. And then, as I said, it's an exchange of rust. I mean, you may get angry. I'm not saying don't get angry. You have to get angry sometimes. It's nice. You may get angry, you may be shocked, you may be fearful sometimes, but then you see Krishna behind it. And then it becomes an impetus for pure devotional service, isn't it? Or disease happens in the body. So this is really the point. And then you can enter into the same mood that the gopis had in this particular pastime. And the devotees who get cursed to come to the material world to fight with Krishna's demons have. You enter into that same mood and life becomes blissful. Even though externally it's like, what the hell is happening? All of life becomes blissful. So, and that happy note, we'll leave 2.5 minutes open for question. Yes?
There's a quote from the Bible that says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter. In other words, to have an attitude like a child.
Yeah.
That's the attitude that's there. You know, it's an innocent attitude of having fun like when you're a child.
Dear Lalita, I'd like to be dear Lalita. Not Krishna, but, you know, have the same mood. Dear Lalita, it's Krishna. You know, just like I've often said to the devotees, when something happens to you, you see, it's Krishna. And then what is Krishna saying, and what do I have to do about it? You know, the three things. Three things. It's Krishna, because if something, and not that something that's in your, under your control is Krishna. That's you, you rascal. You know, you fall asleep while you're driving. Oh, it's Krishna. No, Prabhupada says they're foolishness. But a lot of things happen that are outside of our control. And those things, we just see Krishna. It's Krishna. What is Krishna saying? What do I have to do about it? And Krishna loves me so much that he's actually arranging this situation to bring me closer to him. Like with the gopis. Krishna's loves them so much that he's arranging the situation to bring them close. This is actually a very close, intimate relationship where they're coming out without their clothes. That's Sharanagati. I mean, like surrender to Krishna, isn't it? I have nothing. Or everything is yours, my Lord. Manasa Deha Geha. You know, I'm yours, you know. And so it's an act of love, the devotees or the gopis coming out. Yeah. When is it appropriate? Well, if someone does something improperly or challenges you or attacks you, yeah, why not? But you don't get upset with Krishna. You can definitely get upset with someone who's adharmic, irreligious. I mean, there's nothing wrong, but not with Krishna. Not with Krishna. I mean, if you're in Vrindavan, yes, you can get upset with Krishna. Then that's part of your loving exchange. Yeah, you know, that's fine. You know, you're in Braj and you're one of the gopis, Brajanandi. Devi Das. Wait a second. Then great. Get upset. Get upset. Be angry with Krishna. Tie him to a tree. Lock him up. You know, beat him. You know, whatever you have to do. But otherwise. In this world, we just see Krishna. I mean, yes, get upset. That's fine, but not with Krishna. That's part, like the gopis are upset. You know, so it's all right to have these emotions, anger, whatever like that. But try to see what Krishna is teaching you and what you have to do as a result of that teaching. That's really, really the point. And then it becomes a rasa with Krishna. It becomes enjoyable. At that point, when you see Krishna behind everything, every experience you have in this world, Vishwam Purna Shukayate, becomes blissful. Of course, I am not going to ask Krishna, I'm not saying I'm on that level. Krishna, I am not on that level right now. That is just a philosophical point. Not a practical point.
No, I clarified. Yes.
Thank you. I'm Around.